Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Woo woo! Good Monday, everybody. Hope you are having a fantastic day. You know what? I learned something this weekend, guys. I learned that I've missed sports desperately because I watched a golf tournament. I don't want to say from beginning to end, but I watched a lot of it yesterday. I know you guys are not real golfers, but it is they're golf fans, I should say. But watching this thing yesterday was really bizarre because there's no fans there. It's just done in a vacuum. It's really quiet, but it didn't matter at all. Just the opportunity to see live competition, the best players, not a small field. The whole field was there. And I think it's going to be exactly the same for the NBA, for the MLS, all of these sports that comes back. Golf is one of the first to get back, and it's weird with nobody there, but you lose track of it very, very quickly.
Yeah, you will. And I think, you know, golf, for the most part, I mean, they can stay tight to whoever the golfer is, right? I mean, when you golf, typically you're out there by yourself anyway, and you and whoever you're golfing with. So it's not as strange looking as basketball may be, or football may be, or even Major League Baseball. But I think in terms of hoops, you might be able to get away from a viewing standpoint on television. You may be able to get away with it because some stadiums are empty. I mean, I just go back to many years ago when I used to watch the Clippers as a kid in the sports arena. The damn thing was empty, man. Completely empty. And so when you look at that, you go, oh, okay.
It's not so much the visual, though, guys, because, for instance, and not to break down the golf, but the golf, Daniel Berger won the golf tournament yesterday because two other players missed two-foot putts. Pros don't miss two-foot putts. And on the rare occasions that they do, right, well, but on the rare occasions you do, you hear the people in the crowd, get, you know, and then, you know, when you got 15,000 people doing that collectively, it makes a lot of noise. And these putts lip out, and it's just, it's like, oh, right. It's the sounds much more than the looks. It's the look of when you've got a break going and LeBron throws an alley-oop to Anthony Davis, and he goes up and throws it down over to the top of somebody's head, and nothing happens. Like that, it's not seeing people in the background. It's that no noise takes place. That's the part that's so weird. It's the audio component of it, much more than the visual component.
When you think about the noise that you're talking about, Travis, that's such a huge part of it. First, I don't know if you guys have seen Tony Clark recently, but he looks like a villain in a Disney movie. He just came on my screen, and I was like, you look like you're trying to get the genie or stop the princess or something. Like, you don't look like you're with us. But anyway, the noise thing is going to be really tricky because even like in the NFL, and Key, you know this, they already pipe in some fan noise anyway. But now that they're going to be playing perhaps in some bubbles, when you think about the NBA, how do you know when to pipe in the noise? Like, to your point, Travis, say that AD and LeBron hook up for like an alley-oop, right? And they play the crowd noise. And then say James Harden comes down and hits a three. Are they going to play the crowd noise at the same level? How do you know when to cheer, when not to cheer, and for whom and in what moment loudly? You know, if you're a fan of the Clippers and LeBron hits a game-winning shot that puts the Lakers in the finals, what noise are you going to play? Clipper noise or Laker noise?
Push the wrong button.
Clipper noise is going to be sad, and Laker noise obviously is going to be cheers. How do you know which button to push?
Yeah, well, that's why you got to have people in your house or be out watching this stuff because, you know, if you're in a bar or you've got buddies over to your house and you're watching it and that shot goes up and it goes to the hoop, you're all going to be screaming. So you'll have the effect, or if it's against your team, you'll all have that, oh, God moment. So it was really striking to me how weird it was without the audio component of it yesterday. Let's go back very quickly to what Brian Windhorst was talking about, the relationship between the NBA Players Association and the league, and that they've worked together. And he said this was a goal of Adam Silver's from the time that he came into the league. He wanted to build that bridge and build that partnership. So when the time came for him to have to go to them during this pandemic, there was some trust built up. And whether it was wearing a shirt during warmups or whether it was them wanting the whole week off for All-Star games, there was a couple of easy things for him to give. So when he had an ask of them, they were willing to listen. They were willing to negotiate, or maybe even more importantly, they were willing to collaborate on some of these things. This seems like the most basic thing in the world to me. I mean, not to dumb it down too simply, but this is basically you reap what you sow. If you develop and you give a little bit to these guys, when you need to ask a little bit of them, they're far more willing to give it to you. And you watch baseball, which is on the far opposite end of the spectrum, and football somewhere in the middle, probably more towards baseball than football. I just don't understand how more people don't realize that this is a far better way to ultimately get what you want by having a positive partnership with your opponent in these negotiations than the way that baseball goes about doing it.
Well, when you have a positive trust and a positive relationship from the past, it certainly carries in to the future for you. And Adam Silver and the late David Stern, they all had that back then, and it has helped the NBA, where in Major League Baseball, they've been at odds for so long between the two unions. And then when you think about football, we never trust the people on Park Avenue to begin with. No matter what they say, it's always some sort of little hidden agenda. It's always some tricks. It's always something, and it becomes one-sided. So there was never no trust built there. The NBA, they benefit from all the trust, like you said, that they've had with them and the goodwill that they've had with them from the past.
Well, you know, you got to really credit, you know, David Stern for that. Because Stern came in and decided right away that the best way to grow the NBA, because remember, the NBA was in real bad shape when David Stern took over. Mm-hmm. They were in bad shape when he started working for them as a lawyer, as legal counsel for hire. The first thing he talked about was building relationships with the league stars and letting them know that they had a partner in him. And that really began turning things around. That's when you started seeing the marketing of superstars, Magic versus Bird, more so than Lakers versus Celtics. That's when you started noticing a better relationship in terms of just the way they talked about each other when it got down to labor agreements or labor disputes even. It was because David Stern, the first thing he did was say, there is no league without players. And I kind of feel like the other leagues don't feel the same way. Like, it feels as if they either feel as if their decisions are what make the sport, or that the sport's going to be there regardless if the players are there or not.
I think it's that, because we've seen both the NFL and Major League Baseball entities bring in other guys. You know what I mean? The NFL has had scabs. Baseball was getting ready to play with scabs back in 1995 before they came to an agreement. They're clearly of the opinion that, yes, if all of a sudden we snapped our fingers and Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts were all gone, we know those are the best players in the world, and we would miss them. But they're thinking, look, there's another crop of guys coming down that we can go. We can pop these guys in here right now, and we'll have a league. They'll learn to like these guys too. They do not look at these guys as irreplaceable, and it does feel like Adam Silver looks at his league and says, you know what? There is not another LeBron James. There is not another Steph Curry. Let's make sure that we have this league for these guys. And I don't know if football looks at Patrick Mahomes like that. I don't know if they look at Lamar Jackson like that, the way that the league looks at Zion Williamson as, hey, he's the next one. Let's make sure we take care of him. Let's make sure that he's happy and he has what he needs so we can all keep this thing running and we can all keep making billions of dollars.
Well, that's because the league feels the shield is more powerful than the player. And as long as the shield is available, people wearing it, running up and down, catching balls, it doesn't matter to them. And they're making their money. That's why it feels that way to you. Because they ultimately feel that the shield is more powerful.
Is there if they snap their fingers and had a new commissioner tomorrow, and look, Roger Goodell's not going anywhere. He's entrenched there. But could you start over? Would the players buy it? Or is just there's so much water under the bridge now that they're on the other team. They're the enemy. They're the opponent in these negotiations.
You're getting rid of Roger Goodell. You ain't getting rid of the owners. Who you think Roger Goodell
matter.
Work for?
Roger Goodell. So there's no change. There's no way to fix it.
No, you can't get the commissioner. Look, at the end of the day, the NBA owners are different than the NFL owners. They thought process is different. You have more of the Golden State Warrior owners, the Mark Cubans of the world, and the NBA. opposed to what you dealt with and what you deal with in the NFL. The NBA is not a good old boys network. The NFL is a good old boys network. The NBA tries to find minority partners to partner up with them in ownership all the time. The NFL, they
that's not in the bylaws.
No, that ain't really what we do. We'll let them make some money, but we're not going to let them print the money.
That is, I mean, it's little things like that. You know, it's little things like that. I mean, Keith, you bring up a really, really great point. When I go in hard on owners and what they can do and how they can flex, and I say this to them directly to their faces, I'm not just yapping on the microphone. I'm actually talking to these owners and coaches, and I'm saying things like, you know, your vendor could employ a lot of minorities if you wanted them to. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other things you can do besides build a basketball court or refurbish a gym to help people. And, you know, little things like flexing how you spend your dollars in terms of, you know, construction crew. You building a new stadium, you can require certain things from the company. You know, they don't have to be minority owned, but you certainly can ask, it needs to be a certain percentage before you can work with them, because you're not trying to perpetuate, you know, any good old boy network. I mean, so there are certain things that owners can flex and use their muscle to help contribute if they wanted to. And like you said, Key, you know, some leagues may not necessarily have that written in their bylaws, but as they're having this day of reckoning and Roger Goodell is looking at what the NFL can do, that certainly is one area.
I mean, you think about it. Think about when the Carolina Panthers came up for sale. And you had a number of minorities that had some wealth wanting to participate. Man, they squashed that thing so quick.
They squashed that so quick.
It was like, Yeah.
Whoa, easy, easy.
They sure did.
All right, there's a couple
way faster than it showed up.
There's a couple of players this weekend who said, do not speak for me. And maybe you're right, Key. Maybe the change is here for good. We'll tell you who it is and what they said next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So I'm looking for signs that stuff is changing for the better, that stuff is going to change permanently and not in the short term. And I think the NFL and the kneeling thing is a great barometer of where we are, because you could see it over the weekend. There was fans that were tweeting things at players or speaking on behalf of players. Somebody tweeted at Baker Mayfield saying, hey, tell me you're not going to be one of these guys taking a knee. And he hit him back like, dude, of course I am. Yes, I'm absolutely going to do it. J.J. Watt was asked something similar. Like, I bet J.J. Watt wouldn't do this. And he responded, don't speak for me. And then B, if you don't understand what this is about, you're not paying attention. I'll be honest. Baker Mayfield didn't surprise me a ton because he's kind of an outspoken guy, but to see J.J. Watt say what he said on that particular issue, because, look, J.J. Watt is kind of a Captain America sort of guy, runs out of the tunnel carrying the flag over his head, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But I did not think that he would be one of those guys that would be very clearly saying, no, I am about what this is about from the beginning, and I'm not going to let you do this all over again. These are really positive signs. Now, how sincere they are, time will tell. But this is a good first step.
No, Baker Mayfield, 100% for sure. You know, but J.J. Watt at the same time, because of everything I keep saying, Travis, is different. Okay, 5 years ago, J.J. Watt may have not. You know, he probably just like, well, man, you know, that's what he believes in, and kind of took that road. But you see the backlash of other players that have tried to pull some real slick, quick stuff. You watch what happened to Drew Brees. So you don't want to put yourself in that position if you're J.J. Watt. You want to make sure that you're on the right side of history and not on the wrong side.
But he doesn't have to say anything. I agree with you. But,
no, but
he could,
if you don't
that
say
tweet could just be out there and you don't
you
have to respond to him,
say,
like Roger Goodell.
But if you don't say something, that's saying something. Remember, silence is, you know, silence speaks a lot.
Absolutely. And whether J.J. Watt believes in what he says or not, he knows that his coach has certainly made it be known where he stands. And, you know, he certainly doesn't want to be on the opposite side of that, because Bill O'Brien has proven to be Teflon in a lot of ways. A lot of criticism, a lot of disappointing seasons, but he's still there. In fact, his power has only grown. So it's just smart business for him, whether he's trying to keep up with where the people are now or whether he just want to be in good graces with his coach. He said what he needed to say in that moment. And at the end of the day, I don't really care what his ultimate motivation is, as long as the result works out for me. You know
absolutely
what I'm saying?
And you take a mm-hmm. look around. See, when you're a player, man, you take a look around that locker room, and you got all them brothers around there, and you doing something different, that's not going to sit well. It's the reality of it. Because the first thing people going to say is, you aligning yourself with that because you ain't even saying nothing. We understand who you are. You don't want to put yourself in that position. Whether he believe it or not, like LC said, you just don't want to put yourself in that spot.
That's what happened to Drew Brees, right? I mean, that Drew Brees put himself on the other side of the issue, and he very, very quickly created all sorts of problems inside his own locker room with his own teammates.
Because remember, you are a teammate, and you are a football player, and you part of that 60-man roster that they're putting together. And that's supposed to be a sacred brotherhood within that locker room. And if you over there talking about some nonsense when millions of people out here is talking about change and positivity, and you all of a sudden want to do something different, you don't have enough backing right now to play that game. You just don't have enough backing to play that game.
Guys, let's take a listen to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, who says that he expects players to kneel in record numbers this upcoming season.
I texted with many players this weekend to try to find that out, and they're expecting kneeling potentially in record numbers. They're at least bracing for pregame demonstrations like we've never seen before in 2020. Now, some players will continue to stand because that's their preference, but it's becoming a new era where many feel that kneeling will be the bare minimum to show support against police brutality and racism. They're expecting demonstrations from some teams as a whole to show unity. And then, as one veteran player pointed out, there could be some next level demonstration being plotted by a small group of players that we don't even know about right now.
Okay, go back to the bare minimum part, that maybe taking a knee is the bare minimum when it comes to protests. What if you are one of the players that decides not to kneel? Are you not creating a problem with your teammates in that way? It's one thing to say what Drew Brees said and light the fuse and have the bomb go off and try to clean it up. But what if you just say, you know what, I'm going to stand here the way that I always have, and, you know, 60, 70% of the team is on one knee and you're standing up. Are they not looking at you funny?
What else are you doing? What else are you doing? If you decide not to kneel down, what else are you doing? Are you aligning yourself with the right people or the wrong people? But the right people for you, but the wrong people for everybody else that's kneeling down. Mm-hmm. That's what it's going to boil down to. You're entitled to stand or kneel or stay in a lot. Do whatever you feel you need to do. But what else are you doing? It's going to say a lot. Because if you're doing something that's anything other than what them other people doing, you're going to have a problem on your hand.
It would certainly look odd, but I don't think it's going to cause any tension as long as they say the right thing in a press conference. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, okay, hold on. LZ, I don't want to cut you off, but stop. I want to stop. What's the right thing to say in the press conference? If, let's say, you've got, you know, 2/3 of the team on one knee protesting, and then you have the other third of the team that is not, and then, you know, you walk in with your notepad, and you say to the guy that was standing up, say, hey, why did you decide not to kneel? What is the answer there that doesn't get the story off on the wrong foot?
Well, first of all, Travis, you're talking too loud. You have to whisper.
Right.
Okay. You remember?
Right. So, you know, I noticed that about 2/3 of your teammates were demonstrating and took a knee during the national anthem, yet you were standing there with your hand over your heart. Why?
So that's good, Trav. That's good. You have to be real quiet and slick with it. You got to get slick with it. It's simply not denouncing what they're doing or misconstruing why they're doing it. See, Drew Brees screwed up, not because he was going to stand during the national anthem. He screwed up because he mischaracterized why the men were kneeling. So as long as your response doesn't start off with, I respect the military, my father was a veteran, and I respect, you know, what they've done for this great nation. Mm-hmm. I respect police. As long as you don't start doing that.
But what's the okay? Fine. So I got you. I got you with the. I'm not gonna do the okie doke, right? I'm not gonna start talking about the Marines and the military and the flag and patriotism. I'm not gonna do that because I know that the protest is about police brutality. So I'm not gonna misdirect. But why? What? Why am I not on one knee? You know what I mean? That I'm not standing up because of the military. Okay, cool. Why are you standing up?
That's your own personal business, and that's fine. That's fine. Remember, I know it's really popular to believe that, but everybody didn't march with Dr. King. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There were people who did not march with Dr. King. There were black people who did not march with Dr. King. They were still down for the cause. They just chose not to march for whatever reasons. And that's fine. To Key's point, what else are you doing? How are you living your life? So if you decide for whatever reasons you want to stand during the national anthem, which, by the way, is not a big deal, it's just don't mischaracterize why the brothers are kneeling. And don't try to characterize yourself as being better for standing. That's exactly how you get out of it.
And Marshawn Lynch didn't stand. He stood. He sat on the bench. He didn't kneel. He didn't do nothing. Way before Kaepernick even kneeled, he used to sit on the bench during the national anthem. Bet you never noticed that, did you?
No, I did know that, actually, because he sat on like that little trainer's cart thing, right? That
yeah, was
behind
the
bench.
He would sit on the cart or he would sit on the Gatorade bucket.
Yeah.
Certain players have stayed in the locker rooms doing the national anthem.
But guys, tell me if I'm wrong here, because you can almost see what I'm talking about, right? That while there are a number of guys who are going to write the story the right way and go, that there is going to be this, well, he's not doing, they're going to keep picking at that scab until they get what they want.
What I said before, Travis, what else are you doing and who you align yourself with? If you're telling me you standing and you over there with Joe Bumpkin, Billy Bob and his crew, and y'all going down to NASCAR every weekend that you get off, then you're going to be looked that different. I'm just being honest with you. You're going to be looked that different. But if you doing what you say, and you in them streets, and you sending that positive message, you ain't got to kneel.
Right.
But what else are you doing? Are you saying that, are you going to tell me, well, I've always stood for the flag ever since I used to do Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag when I was in elementary school and the sound of the bell? You gonna try to give me that one? You going to try to okey-doke me?
I don't know what they're trying to give you. That's my question. Like, so opening night, right, that Thursday night football game, that Thursday – and we're going to take a break on this. I want you to come up with what he's going to say. The Thursday night football game, the anthem starts, most of the players go to a knee – and Roger Goodell is there, and he decides not to. We know what the first question in that press conference is going to be. Key, I want you to give me the answer of what he will say after the game. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Okay, Key, so we're talking about the protests that are certainly going to happen once the NFL season starts. Players getting on a knee. Baker Mayfield said he absolutely is going to be on a knee. J.J. Watt shot down a fan who said, well, J.J. Watt would never do that. And he said, you don't speak for me. Let's fast forward to that opening Thursday game. That opening Thursday game where Roger Goodell is almost always in attendance and the national anthem starts and the vast majority of the players, maybe a vast majority of the coaching staff, decide to take a knee to bring attention to the cause. And the commissioner of the league perhaps decides not to. We know what the first question is going to be. Hey, what did you make of the protest? And B, why didn't you participate? What is the answer to that question if you're Roger Goodell?
Participate in what? What am I participating in?
Bringing attention to the cause at hand, bringing attention to George Floyd, to Colin Kaepernick, to everybody else that we've been talking about. By the time we get to September, it'll have been months at that point, years in the case of Colin Kaepernick.
I think that certainly we have brought attention to the cause at hand here in the National Football League. We issued a statement in the month of early June on how we feel on police brutality and social reform. We also have donated $250 million to the cause over the next 10 years. Players are within their own right in the National Football League to make a decision on whether they would like to stand, kneel down, or stay inside the locker room. We do not have a policy in place to enforce that.
But why didn't you participate? Do you not support the cause?
I support the cause 100%. We certainly have come a long ways in trying to figure out our diversity program and trying to figure out how to hire more minorities and be better at what we've not been good at in the past.
Now, Z, you think that would satisfy people? You think that it would be a non-story at that point? We'd go back to doing whatever it is we were doing before?
No matter what you do, depending upon how famous you are or how good you are in your sport, it's going to be a story. If you stand, it's a story. If you sit, it's a story. If you kneel, it's a story. So the question isn't how you avoid the story or make it a non-story. The question is, what story are you trying to tell? You know, what are you going to promote or what are you going to support when the questions come? Because they're going to come. You can't be a quarterback in the National Football League and not get that question because you're the leader of the team. Mm-hmm. So Jared, if you're listening to me right now and you're wondering what you should do, you should first figure out where do you stand, pun intended, on the topic, because that would inform you what you should do and, more importantly, what you need to say, because it's not going to be a non-story. There is no answer. There is no action for a non-story. So what is the story you're going to tell, Jared Goff? What is the story you're going to tell, Justin Herbert? What's the story you're going to tell, TT? What's the story you're going to tell, David Carr? You know, that's the question.
It's amazing to me because easy might be the wrong word. Take a knee and say, you know what? Yes, I support the effort for reform. I support the effort to bring attention to this issue. And then we go, cool, and we keep it moving. And obviously you're letting a certain percentage of your fan base know that, hey, we've really made a change here, because I know I'm repeating myself, but I keep coming back to this attempt to kind of live in the middle that Jerry Jones is attempting, that Roger Goodell at least attempted at the beginning. And I shouldn't even just say Jerry, because Jerry is not the only owner who has been silent on this issue. That they are, like you said it a minute ago, Key, not saying something can be just as powerful as saying something. Not kneeling, not issuing a statement, not offering your support. Your silence can be construed as the opposite of support. And they've decided to put out these statements that we're going to listen, we support that, but will they do it or not? Or is that back to that middle ground where, hey, we're not saying you can't do it, but we're not going to do it, so the guys over here are still cool with us?
Yeah, it's just the NFL is just different, man. The owners are – they're just a different group of people, how they operate. You know, Mr. Kraft has shown that he supports certain things from – a Black Lives Matter, a cultural standpoint, a prison reform, and all of those, he's shown that. But he has yet to say something, right? I mean, it's just they just operate differently. They just operate differently. Now, you know, does that mean they playing both sides of the fence? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They just – does one not want to tee off the other because he needs him to vote for his new stadium being built? I don't know. I just know that the ones that do step up, you see, and the ones that sit tight, you see, and you know who they are. And you know the ones that do the right things and the positive things.
My goodness. Have you guys seen this video of Lamar Jackson running on the beach and getting taken out by a jet ski? Have you guys seen that video yet?
I haven't seen the video. I'm
not happy with him doing that.
Oh my goodness! So he's playing football on the beach. He's out there with a bunch of his friends, and they're playing football on the beach, like you see, you know, a million people do. And he takes off, and it's Lamar Jackson because he's leaving everybody in the dust. And he's running along the beach line where the water meets the sand, and there's a jet ski that's kind of just floating in the water right there. That it's kind of a weird angle, but it looks like he hits the thing going full speed and kind of tumbles over it and falls into the water. The report is that he's okay, but Mike Lamar, man, take it easy.
Yeah, I'm not happy with him doing that. That's for sure. I wouldn't be around. I wouldn't even be around them people right now.
I mean,
you know that, right? I'm like, oh no, man, we ain't doing this. I'm getting ready to get this $250 million in about 12 months, man. I ain't messing with y'all.
Wait, I mean, that's got to kick in, right? Where, look, I'd love to go play beach football with you guys, but I got a lottery ticket that I can't cash quite yet, so I'll just sit here in my chair and drink some water and watch you guys play.
Travis, there is science and decades of research that tells you that smoking is bad for your health, and people still smoke. So I hear what you're saying, brother. I hear what you're saying. But people going to do what people going to do. They don't care what you say. They don't care what's at risk. To Key's point, I might get 250 in a couple months, but right now I'm living for the moment, baby. I'm 20-something years old. I'm an MVP, and I'm just out here living.
John Harbaugh's making a call, right? Like, hey, Lamar, it's coach. Stop.
Yeah, that call was already made. That call was already made.
It's funny, man. It's funny. You remember being young and feeling like you were invincible? You know, feeling like, you know, you can cross the street and not even look both ways and all that craziness? I mean, that's just...
Yeah, but there wasn't $250 million waiting for me if I used a crosswalk.
No, but I mean, look at... What's dumbass? Madison Bumgarner?
You know, yeah.
He's riding the RV, ripping up his arm and stuff. I mean,
Key, did you ever do that stuff? I know you're not like a risk taker by nature as far as like skydiving things.
No.
But did you ever? No. Man, I'm going to go do that. I'm going to go run this hill. Nope. I don't know what it might have been.
If it had nothing to do with football acclimated things, I wasn't taking any risk. If it was football acclimated, then you might say, well, that's a little risky. But that's stuff that I do. But as far as trying to have some fun and doing, no, I'm not doing that. For what? For why? For who?
For fun.
No, I'm cool.
Lamar Jackson, the yards he picked up on the beach right there were not going to go on his NFL totals. He's just out there having fun.
Just having fun,
he got taken
man.
Out by a jet ski or by a Sea-Doo or whatever that thing was.
But think about all the NBA dudes, man, that still play at Rutgers or Entertainment League or any of those things. I mean, those are still risky too. Like, if I was KD, you wouldn't catch me on no concrete playing no ball. Ever.
No. Ever. Well, Lamar Jackson, look out for jet skis on your left, my man, because that thing came out of nowhere. Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next on the morning show at 710 ESPN. So, George, before we get to Kyrie and Dwight Howard, you wanted to offer a critique of Keyshawn's mask-wearing strategy?
Well, it's not so much a critique. It's more along the lines that I'm a little worried. You know what I'm saying? COVID is still spreading.
No. You are just like I told LZ when we took the picture yesterday. I said to you, did I not, LZ, these damn people, they gonna try to hijack the message George.
You're like those people, hijack
the message. We were out there for a good cause. The only thing you're concentrating on is the negative.
Well, because I want you to be out there more for the cause. I don't want you to have to be sidelined. That was my worry when I saw that picture.
We were already out there for several hours. You try wearing it in 100-degree heat.
Oh, I bet you.
I just wanted a little breather, and at the time I got a little breather, we took the picture. That's all. Just a little bit. Smell the air just a little bit.
Well, I'm glad that you were out there, Key.
We were hand sanitizing.
Good.
We were hand sanitizing, George, every 5 steps. We were safe. We were clean.
Okay,
we were
good. Well, I trust you. I trust you, LZ. I trust you. Key, I'm just worried about you. You know what I'm saying?
I had to avoid a glitter war, you know.
Well, hold on. I heard that there was some fans of yours there.
Do you like glitter?
Fans of LZ. Supporters of the cause.
No. Glitter Boy had its... Glitter Boy had his eyes on a big old piece of chocolate by the name of Keyshawn.
Oh, boy,
I was impressed.
Well, look, in honor of today's Supreme Court ruling, I think it's apropos that we discuss this.
I mean, listen, George, Well, I was telling the guys, I was about 30 before I was able to come up the line that fast, that good. These young people, man, they on top of it. He saw Keyshawn.
He came up
and
with
started
that
talking to him. Next thing I heard was, "Woo, that was fast." You like glitter? I was like damn.
He's like, "You like glitter, huh?" Something like that. I was like, no, I'm married, man. My wife named Jen. Get out of here.
he was asking questions he was never asked.
LZ say he ain't.
Oh my gosh!
I was thinking.
What happened? Ever. What question did he ask LZ?
First time we met. What's your wife? He asked him if he liked glitter.
Right.
Because he was shirtless and he had glitter all over his body.
Right.
And so he was looking at Keyshawn.
So Key asked him that
physically.
No, but Key was asked the question.
Oh, okay.
No. If you like glitter, as he was looking at him, undressing with his eyeballs.
The guy asked me as I was standing in front of the BLM sign that was in rainbow colors. I was standing in front of it to take a picture. And I was waiting, and the guy ran up on me with the silver glitter all over his chest and his arms and everything. And he said, "Do you like glitter?" And I was like, "No, man, my wife's name is Jen."
That was your response?
He didn't even answer the question, man.
Hey,
he,
man, you know what he was like? I couldn't give no windows, no opportunity. I think I pushed LZ in front of me. Like, man, talk to these people. You can speak that language. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's something that should be in a movie.
Man, let me tell you something.
It didn't stop there.
Freaking funny. And the other thing that was so funny, man, was that he was almost like Drew Brees. Because they asked Drew Brees, "What do you feel about the protests?" And he started talking about the military.
Yeah.
This man asked him if he liked glitter, and he started talking about his wife and kids.
Yeah.
I said, you didn't even answer the question about the glitter. That's a yes or no question. You talking about your wife and kids.
Key?
Because if I'd have said yes or no, he might have said something else. I didn't want to give him the opportunity.
Key, do you like glitter?
No. Look, man, it was fun. We had a good time. We did a good deed, you know. But the sharks were swimming around a lot, and I had to, you know, had to just be safe out there. That's all.
I'm glad you're here this morning, Key. That's good news. George, what do you make of what Kyrie Irving is attempting to do, and that is inform the rest of the players that he does not think it's a good idea that they return? Dwight Howard seems to be on board with that idea. Do you think that this has enough momentum for it to be something that the NBA needs to address?
So I will answer, well, okay. Do I think it has enough momentum that the NBA needs to address it? Yes, I think it has. I think that the NBA takes any concerns by its players very seriously. I thought what you were going to ask me, if it has any momentum to stop the season, I would say no to that.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is, you know, Ed Davis was on that call from the Utah Jazz, and he actually shed light on details of the call. He said that there were about 10 guys who spoke, and half of those were against playing, including Kyrie at that particular time, Dwight, Carmelo, Avery Bradley, amongst others. He said that everyone else, he says he's 99.9% sure that we're going to finish the season. So I think that, look, far be it for me to speak for anyone who's black, but I mean, I would say this as a minority too, is that I would want to be able to utilize my platform to be able to continue to focus on the message.
Absolutely.
And I also think that this is not a fight that's going to happen in 3 months and it's going to be over, like that it's all going to be good. This is going to take years, maybe decades, to have real institutional change. And I don't think that we can stop going to work in general as minorities or anyone for that matter for any particular cause, because I think you need to do that to be able to shine light on the cause. I think you need to be able to utilize every opportunity you can, whether that's working on a platform like the NBA or this one that we have here, to shine light on those particular causes.
You certainly want to use your platform, and this is a perfect opportunity for all those guys to use their platform. But in all, if like Patrick Beverly said, though, if LeBron James is playing, we all playing. So,
well, and here's the thing, Key. What I would say that, you know, Adam Silver and the NBA, I mean, there has not been a more player-friendly a commissioner maybe in the history of sports, and someone who is also willing to be not an ally but a partner with the players, you know, as he's been. And I just would find it very hard to believe that Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts and everyone involved here would not give the players as much latitude as they'd like to demonstrate in any way, shape, or form, or continue to focus on this particular message. I would be stunned if that were the case.
George, I know we're kind of running out of time here, but if the message was exactly the same, but the messenger was somebody like LeBron or Steph Curry, is it totally different?
I would say yes. I do think that the lack of consistency from Kyrie just across the board, let alone the lack of consistency within a span of a week, right? Because he's the vice president of the Players Association and approved this. And I know that Kendrick Perkins, and I'll have that audio on the other side, I don't know if you guys played it, basically said that Kyrie changed his tune, this is according to Kendrick, once he heard he wasn't going to be able to go and be there with his teammates because he's injured and he wanted to go there and support, that's when this changed. So I don't know how accurate that is, but Kendrick is more tied into any of this than we are. So
the Sedano Show is next. We'll see you right here at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Do you like glitter?